See, it is live, and here we are. Okay, welcome everybody to West Coast Happy Hour, and welcome to Speaking to Influence. I'm Dr. Laura Sokola, your host, founder of Vocal Impact Productions, and of course, host of the podcast Speaking to Influence, Communication Secrets of the C-Suite. We're doing a little bit of a flashback today, flashback, flash forward, flash all over the place, because I am loving this opportunity to reconnect with some of the guests that I have been on the show way back from the very beginning, not like it was decades ago, but nevertheless, from the launch back the beginning of June, right up through earlier today, we had Mitzi Perdue, who was our most recent guest, whose episode launched today. And here I am with the joy and the pleasure one more time of meeting with Michael Houlihan, one of the co-founders of, whoops, I just lost Michael. And Michael just somehow deleted himself out of the situation. So, all right, Michael, hopefully you are going to figure out how to reconnect back into this. But Michael is the founder, one of the co-founders of Barefoot Wines out in California. And he's also author of The Barefoot Spirit, which is a fantastic story. You know, this is Barefoot, The Barefoot Spirit is interesting because it is the story of the founding of Barefoot Wines. These are two people who never planned on going into the winemaking business in the first place. I'll let him tell you a short version about how that actually happened. Because, you know, it's something where I might end up buying a shirt I didn't intend to buy, or buying more likely a purse or a pair of shoes that I hadn't intended to buy at the beginning of the day. I rarely find myself, there we go, he's back now, you know, but I rarely find myself buying a vineyard or falling into a complete industry that I hadn't intended in the first place. So The Barefoot Spirit is a great story that talks about the birth of the brand, the birth of the company, and really the revolution of the wine industry in the United States and around the world for that matter. And so having gone from founding Barefoot Wines to writing this book, and then to creating now as founder of Business Audio Theater, the beauty is that it's not just a good book to read. And it is, because I'm not much of a fiction story reader, but I'm also, frankly, not much of a biography reader. And this sort of is more the biography of the business, the biographies of the people involved in it. But I love that there's so much more story involved in this, not just a sort of a history per se. And Michael has taken this book and created not just an audiobook. Look, my book, Speaking to Influence, which you'll see up in the upper right-hand corner of your screen, I have an audiobook version of that, but it's not audio theater. I've always said, look, part of what makes me a good coach is that I am not from the theater. I'm a linguist, and all of my perspective comes from that angle. So I couldn't teach you to act if my life depended on it. So my audiobook is strictly me reading my book and talking to you as if you and I were having our conversation. But Michael's book is very different. Michael's book, The Barefoot Spirit, in audio format is completely like 1920s, 1930s, 1940s radio play style with all the bells and whistles, sound effects, actors. That is a Hollywood quality production. And they've won awards for it, right? The Audis, which I think is amazing. So now that you're back, I'm not sure where you just went in that little vortex for a moment there, but Michael Houlihan, welcome and welcome back.
Yes, it's great to be back. It's great to be with you again, Laura. Thank you for all the kind words. We've been through so much. 20 years building the Barefoot brand. It's ubiquitous today. And then working for our acquirer for a year to help them, as they say, keep the Barefoot Spirit alive. And that's why we use the term the Barefoot Spirit, because it's really the spirit behind the brand. And so, you know, what does that have to do with today? Well, you know, here we are Zooming and you know, using all these video platforms. Why? Because we can't go to the office anymore.
Yeah.
And we've sent everybody home. And so now company culture is even more critical than ever. It was hard enough to get people to engage and to reduce turnover when they were going to the office. But now, you know, you're just an icon on their screen. And they don't get up in the morning and have a cup of coffee and take a shower, you know, and fix their hair, put on their makeup, put on a nice dress or a set of clothes if they're a man. And next thing, you know, go down and have breakfast, get in the car, drive an hour or less, get to work,
go to squares,
and then have somebody greet them, you know, hi, Michael, you know, how was your weekend? That none of that stuff happens anymore. And, you know, we have embraced the brave new world here. We're being shot into the 21st century, whether we want to or not. The COVID crisis has certainly done that to us. But what did we lose? Part of what I just described is actually a kind of a routine that people go through or used to go through to get to work. And that routine itself involves all the senses. It involves the sense of sight, the sense of smell, the sense of hearing, the sense of touch, everything. And you're doing it every day. So you're building up this kind of a physical mantra of behavior every morning to go to work. Well, that's creating a bond between you and work. And now you have a social relationship. You know those people at work. So far, I haven't said anything about work. And if they were working for me, I haven't said anything about wine either. But I'm talking about a universal problem that all businesses face more today than ever before because they've sent everybody home. So the question is, how do you improve company culture with a off-premise workforce? How do you do that? How do you make people engage? How do you make people identify with the company? And so when we did Barefoot and we sold it and we became speakers and we became advisors and whatnot, and we traveled all over the world, we noticed that companies around the world faced two big problems. One was engagement and the other one was turnover. And they both kill the company. A turnover is so expensive. You'll never see a line item, for instance, on a business plan that says turnover $4 million in the first 4 years. You won't see that. But right. It's a real cost because you don't just lose the person. You lose all their contacts. You could lose your customer. You lose a relationship with your vendor. You lose your relationship with the coworkers. Now you hire somebody new. Maybe they don't work out. You got to start over again. You know, it's a very expensive proposition. So what we thought about, we wrote our book, we wrote The Barefoot Spirit, because it is an entrepreneurial journey, which is a seat of your pants rocket ride. I recommend to anybody. It's very humbling. You know, I mean, we got our butts kicked. You know, this is not one of those stories where, you know, we come up with some massive computer and make millions of dollars overnight. No, this is the one where I go out and price items on my hands and knees in a suit and tie because nobody else will put price tags on my bottles of wine in Pensacola, Florida, right?
Right.
And it's 97 degrees and 87% humidity. Okay. And then I go do the same thing in Minneapolis. And why? Because I know that if I don't do it, the clerk won't do it. If the clerk doesn't do it, the big buyer's not going to see it scan. If it doesn't scan, it's going to get discontinued. That would be the end of Barefoot Wine.
Right.
So that's the kind of stories that we're talking about. Real life, practical business building stories that are surprising. So, you know, you can tell those stories to people. You can write a book about them. But we decided that wouldn't it be fun to just make it a play, you know, kind of like a 1940s radio theater. Mm-hmm. So that's how we got into it. And that's how we bridged the gap, you know, from wine to theater. You know, they say they got three things in California. We got software, we got wine, and we got Hollywood. So yeah. We kind of put them all together.
Why not? Why not? Right? Take what your greatest strengths are and find ways to repackage them, recombine them, repurpose them, and give them a whole new facelift of sorts, which is also something that there's plenty of in California.
Facelifts are very important out here.
Yes. And you know, before we go into a lot of the specifics and some of the details, and you've shared with me, and we'll share with everybody who's listening, who's joining us tonight, some of the clips from the audio play, from the audio book, The Barefoot Spirit. But I do want to just take a moment to reach out to everybody who is tuning in. And it's whether, of course, if they're tuning in live tonight, please do feel free to reach out to us, right? That's what the chat box is for. So if you have questions for Michael, if you want to share stories, if you've had a chance to read or listen to The Barefoot Spirit, if you just want to tell us what your favorite wine is, that's fine too. But we would love to hear from you. And we would love you to be part of our conversation. This is not just Michael and me talking to each other and you eavesdropping. We really want this to be as engaging and interactive as you would like it to be. So this is us here for you. And as you're listening, you know, one of the things that I've been training in all the workshops I've been doing online on how to be powerful and impactful here in this virtual environment is about trying to get people not to multitask. So this is the one time I'm going to encourage you, if you'd like, to multitask in one very specific way. And that's to go to iTunes and to subscribe to the podcast, to Speaking to Influence. And while you're there, make sure you're downloading all the episodes, especially episode number 3, which is Michael's episode. So you don't want to miss all the great business advice, leadership, communication advice that he gave there. But also to then give us a 5-star rating, please. We love 5 stars. You can give it whatever you like, but 5 stars, the more sparkly, the better, as far as I'm concerned. And to take a moment to write down just a sentence or two to review the podcast for everybody else who's out there. And of course, spread the word. And whether you're tuning in now from YouTube or from Facebook, and I'm learning all these new platforms, not that those are new platforms per se, but live streaming on both of them at the same time through StreamYard. I'm not a techie, so this is really building the plane mid-flight for me. So I appreciate everybody joining us on this maiden voyage, as it were. So if you can please, whatever platform you're on, like that channel for us so that we can continue to build our following there as well. And with that, I'm going to turn it back to you, Michael. So tell me a little bit about how we, why don't we start just as a taste and give people a sense of what the audiobook sounds like. Would that be fun?
That would be fun. And I think you're going to play the first visit to the first buyer.
Yes.
You know, what we tried to do with Business Audio Theater is convey business principles through theater. Instead of someone telling you or reading it to you, it's being performed for you. So you're gonna hear this, and you're gonna think about what's going on, and maybe you'll figure out some lessons that you can take with you. But there's no browbeating. Nobody says, now here's the point or anything like that. So it's just observe and enjoy.
And so just as a general preface to everybody out there, because of the way that this platform is set up, for me to show you this clip or to listen, because again, it's audio, it's not a video, it's not a movie of any sort, I do need to share the screen so that you can hear the audio through it. So for just a minute or so, what you're going to see is just a Chrome browser that has lots of sound waves going through it. So you'll watch that. It's going to last just about a minute. But what you'll be hearing here is the experience of Michael. It's the actor who's playing you, who's going to one of the first buyers as you are trying to figure out how to sell all this wine that you suddenly found yourself.
Played by Ed Asner.
Is that who it is? Oh, that's the buyer. It's Ed Asner.
It's Ed Asner is the buyer, yeah. And he's just as sardonic as he can be.
Yes. Now, out of curiosity, you know, again, if you haven't heard the whole book, you're not really sure leading into it, because this is an excerpt sort of chopping right into the middle of a story of the chapter. Was this buyer perhaps, had he been sampling a decent amount of wine prior to your...
No, as a matter of fact. You know, when Barefoot got started, we basically traded some debt for one of Bonnie's clients, and we couldn't get money out of the bankrupt winery, but we got bottling services and wine. So we had to decide how we were going to make a label and a business plan and all that stuff. And we thought, well, you know, how hard could this be, right? How long could this take, right? Well, it took 20 years, right?
Yeah.
But the point is that we at least had the sense to go ask what the market wanted. And that's what this clip is about. It's okay. About us. You know, we go in hat in hand, you know, kind of scared. You know, we got $300,000 worth of trade in wine and bottling services for debt. And we have to turn it into a brand in order to make the money to pay the debt back.
Okay, so this is about a 45-second clip or so. Again, we're going to be off the screen for just a moment as you're looking at this tab. And you'll be hearing Ed Asner along with another actor who is playing Michael. So Ed Asner's not playing Michael, but you will hear this conversation. I'm going to start this right here.
My name's Michael Houlihan, and I just closed a deal with a winery to pay off some debt. I'm sitting on thousands of gallons of Cabernet and Sauvignon Blanc. When I bottle it, what should the label look like?
Brown's grumpiness eased a notch.
You know, Houlihan, nobody ever asked me that before. I'm going to help you. Don't make it a hill or a leap or a run or a valley or a creek. I got enough of those. I can't sell more. Don't put a flower on it. For Christ's sake, don't make it a chateau. Make the logo the same as the name. It has to be something familiar, something people will recognize and remember. And whatever you do, do it in plain English.
Okay, do it in plain English. I love that. There was getting that kind of advice from a buyer, from a consultant, from a coach, when there's just no sugarcoating. It's just, for the love of God, whatever you do, don't do this. Don't give me that. I'm sending it right back to you. I don't want to even see your face, much less your product. If you're going to do any of this junk that I've seen a billion times now, get out of my face.
Well, exactly. At the end of that clip, it goes on and says, now get out of my office. I got work to do.
Right.
But, you know, the point here is that so many people fall in love with their invention, their idea, their service, whatever they're going to do for people, that they forget that they have to get access to the market one way or another. You know, I mean, you can have the best book in the world, but nobody's going to buy it if it doesn't come around at the right, if the timing isn't right or the marketing isn't right, if it doesn't have the right position on Google or what have you. So what do you do about that? Well, what we did about that was we asked questions. We asked questions of people who were in the industry. They weren't the sniff, swirl, and spit type people, you know, with their little finger out, you know, saying French words and talking about mid-notes, right? Not those kind of dweebs at all. These are the people that drive truck. These are the people that drive, you know, forklifts. These are the people that are in the bowels of the industry, you see. And we didn't know any better because we were from outside. So we asked these questions, and nobody'd ever asked him that before. And so the guy, in about 37 seconds before he threw me out of his office, like he said, he gave me the real deal, you know. And so we created Barefoot to be, the name was the same as the image, the Barefoot image. And the Barefoot name. It was in plain English, Barefoot, B-A-R-E-F-O-O-T. Everybody could pronounce it, you see. Mm-hmm. You could see it from 3 feet away. That was really important. So many labels today, you can't see them from 18 inches away. They look great on the screen, but they look terrible in the store. Mm. So, and this is kind of like practical information that if we'd gone out and either gone to white collar people or been 3 or 4 generations in the wine business, we would have never gotten. And so what made Barefoot so revolutionary was that meeting. Because here we are. We don't have any choice. We've got to do something with this wine. We don't have a label, right? What are we going to do?
Yeah.
So yeah. We better do the right thing. We better do something where there's a buyer who wants it.
And it's interesting because that the idea of leadership being able to distill the message down to a really short, concise, pithy, crystal clear, no fluff around messaging is in many ways much harder than most people think, right? It's hard to, you're presenting to somebody and you give all the background, you give all these details, you give all this stuff. And I hear so many executives when we're talking about things like managing up, to they're giving instructions to their direct reports saying, get to the point. Investors, when they're listening to entrepreneurs, yeah, all that. Get to the point. Give me the one sentence, the one piece. And that was a perfect clip where in 45 seconds, and really about 2/3 of that, he was able to just say, you need to do X, do Y, do Z. There was no ambiguity about it whatsoever. There wasn't even tact. Forget ambiguity. He just went right for the jugular on that. But it was, and he wasn't hurtful about it, right? He may have thrown you out of his office afterward, which of course isn't exactly, you know, peaches and cream, but nevertheless, he was so crystal clear. So the ability to distill a message down into A, B, see and move on, I think that's a great example and a lot of fun, of course, at the same time.
Yeah. And the other thing is that you'll notice that because you were listening to it, you know, you got this image in your mind, right? So you know that the guy's in an office, but your brain goes out and grabs a picture of an office from some touchstone in your memory and mm-hmm. pulls that into your consciousness. And then your brain goes out and pulls up a chair. He's sitting across a desk. You put all those props together in audio. And that's one of the advantages over video, because in audio, you must participate. You see, so it's easier to remember because you've actually created the scene. So it's a very interesting media. We love it. You know, we got the idea. We were driving across the desert. We were in Phoenix and we had to do a speaking gig down in Tucson. It's one of the most boring drives in the world. You know, I mean, I don't care how much you like the desert. It's straight as an arrow, you know, for like 100 and some odd miles. And so we're bored and it's what, a Saturday afternoon. So we turn on PBS and there is Prairie Home Companion, right?
Sure, yeah.
And you know, here they are on PBS, and they're doing Guy Noir, Private Eye. And it's a 1945 skit with three or four actors and sound effects and music. And here we are driving across this desert, but we're completely immersed in this dark city in this crime drama because it's coming through our earbuds. So that was, you know, a wake-up call for me when that happened on that ride. I said, this is the media that we're going to use to teach business.
So what other skills of business are you teaching through this medium?
Well, we're teaching things like don't forget to ask questions. We're also teaching the idea that sometimes being underfinanced and underknowledged in your industry is not as much of a disadvantage as an advantage because it gives you the outsider's point of view. And when you talk about people that are really disruptive in business, they are outsiders. They come into it and they're looking at it and they're going, you know, they're cutting this cake all wrong. You know, there's a part of this market that they're just not addressing. Like, for instance, in Barefoot's case, one of the things he says is, you know, make sure she can see it from 3 feet away when she's pushing her cart down the aisle. Her cart, her cart. So let's talk about her. Well, that's a female. Well, it turns out that it's like a 37-year-old mom with 2.5 kids, if you check out the statistics on who's buying in the supermarkets, which is in 28 states in the United States where you could buy wine in a supermarket. So we said, okay, let's talk about women. What's interesting is that in those days when we started Barefoot, most of the wine buyers were men. And they were talking about things like, you know, vintage dated wine and, you know, vineyard designated with special appellations and using all these French terms. But the fact is that most of the wines were being bought by women, 78%. See, and what they wanted was a wine that was consistent in flavor, big fruit forward, easy drinking. It wouldn't taste funny next year. Well, that's the opposite of the so-called vintage dated business. Now you're talking about blends to create a consistent flavor profile that she can recognize. And so she's buying Tuesday night wine. She's not buying Friday night or Saturday night brag wine. This is her Tuesday night wine. But you see, there's 5 or 6 Tuesdays in the week. So, I mean, you know, so one of the lessons is you've really got to listen. You know, so much of communication is listening.
Yes.
By listening to what that guy said in the 37 seconds, and you just take apart every word, and you know this guy's pressured. He doesn't have time, and he wants to get you out of the office. So he's just going to give you the fire hose and then shut it off, right? And so what we noticed was he was talking about women. And so we got a female winemaker and we just pressed the pedal to the metal as far as women's tastes were concerned. What were they looking for? Did a lot of studies in that area. So I guess the communications lesson there is to listen and don't just think you know it or say, oh, that's, I got that. You don't got that. You might have a door open that you can go in and do some research, but you don't got that until you've done the research.
Right. Right. So let's go back a little bit. And again, this is a quick reminder to everybody out there who's listening. Please go and subscribe to the podcast, to Speaking to Influence, so that you can be sure to download Michael's episode, which was episode 3. And of course, leave us a 5-star rating and a nice little review with any sort of comments you'd like to share. Now, Michael, let's back up a little bit because I think a lot of people are obviously very familiar with Barefoot Wines, and now they're getting familiar with the story of Barefoot. And how you like to tell it through this amazing audio book, which is so much fun to listen to. I highly recommend that everybody get a copy of it. But, and you have a special giveaway, don't you?
Yes, I do. Everybody who's listening today is going to get one free episode. How's that?
Okay,
25 minutes of Hollywood actors playing the parts, and you're going to see how this business really starts in the laundry room. It winds up in the boardroom of the world's largest brand. But the point of the matter is it starts with really humble beginnings, and they're so humble and they're so cornball that when you see it, you will automatically identify. You'll go, oh, I can see how that can happen. So it's not over your head. This is really down to earth. So we hope that it entertains you, and hope that it encourages you to either start or grow your own business. And that's why we did it this way.
So tell everybody, with the concept of starting your own business, you were not coming from a world of wine, right? You, as you just said, self-identified outsiders to the industry, which gave you a different kind of perspective. Where were you coming from, and how did you suddenly land in a vineyard of your own?
That's a great one. Okay, so Bonnie's from Portland, and I'm from San Francisco. And we both came to the wine country, which is south of Portland, north of San Francisco. We did it independently. Neither one of us was big on wine, you know. I mean, we were big on, you know, beer and cocktails maybe, but we weren't big on wine because it was...
And this was back in the 80s?
Yeah, it was very chauvinistic at the time. You know, it was very isolated and insulated and, you know, kind of snooty. We came to this wine country. Why? Because we love the Pacific Ocean. We love the mountains. We love the river. We like the idea that it was an agrarian society here. And we were both urban refugees. So we were just really glad to not have to drive around our house twice to find a place to park, or stand in line to give somebody money. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. So, and people saying hello to you and knowing your name, right? So it was really a life change. And then after we made the life change, we did just the opposite. Like most people, they get a job, they move to where the job is. What we did is we got a life, we got the job where the life was. And so we decided to work, right, to pay our bills. And we decided to work, and we didn't choose to, but the wine industry was the vortex that sucked us in because it was 80% of the business here.
Sure.
And so we wound up working in the wine industry. Now, my background was in business consulting. I had worked for the federal government, done some redevelopment projects where I helped people who are being moved. You know, they were in harm's way of the wrecking ball, and their business was going to be destroyed physically. But, you know, I had to go in there and organize their business to a point that it could be moved, and it would succeed, and they wouldn't sue the government. So they would hire a lot of young bucks like me out of college to do that kind of thing. And I did it, but I learned a lot about business doing that. I learned that all businesses have a lot in common, you know, and that they really do need to be documented. Mm-hmm. Now, Bonnie, she came from Portland, and she worked for some big companies up there, and she was doing office management. You know, what's the most efficient way to run the office, or how do you oversee services that you're hiring to have done? So here we come to the wine industry with those skills, and we haven't met each other yet, but, you know, we're both getting involved with the wine industry through the clients that we have. So one night at a rock and roll bar, and these are the days where you ask the woman to dance. Okay, you didn't dance by yourself. You know, you couldn't. You had to ask somebody to dance. So there was some chivalry involved in those days.
Okay.
But anyway, so, you know, I asked her to dance, and, you know, we wound up staying together for 37 years. So, I mean, it was a good one-nighter, if you know.
Yes, sure. That was, you know, a very good one-nighter.
So, but because we had the romantic relationship, and then we realized that we were both kind of in different sides of the same business, one day she shared with me, she said, you know, I've got this client who's owed $300,000 by this winery, and they haven't paid him in 3 years. Maybe you can go negotiate a deal with them. And so I thought, well, you know, what did I marry the mafia here? You know, I've only known this girl for 6 months and now she's got me going out collecting, you know, 300 large, right?
Right.
What is this relationship going to be like? So I went out there and all I could get was wine and bottling services. And so that's how we got involved in the wine industry. And, you know, it's funny because when Don Brown, you know, played by Ed Asner, the buyer for supermarket, big supermarket chain, told us, you know, what the label had to look like. We'd been thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. And then one night, it's like 3 a.m. in the morning, we've been out partying, you know, I'm ready to hit the sack. And, you know, Bonnie stops me and she goes, wait a minute, she says, I've got it. And that's the clip, The Birth of the Foot, which... Okay. You can play for your guests.
Sure. That sounds like fun. And if you're enjoying this, if you're enjoying the discussion, of course, remember to, whether you're on Facebook now or on YouTube Live, please like the channel or like our, like the videos, et cetera. So I'm going to now play. And just as a reminder, if you weren't here for the first clip that we played a little while ago, this is a short clip from the Barefoot Spirit, the Barefoot Audio Theater, excuse me, the Business Audio Theater version, the audiobook of the Barefoot Spirit. And as I play this, I'm going to do a screen share, which is how StreamYard allows us to share this clip. But because it's audio only, you're going to just see, I can't play it while you are looking at us. So we'll be off the screen for about 60 seconds, give or take. So stay tuned. Don't leave. We will be right back. And maybe we'll be here the entire time anyway. And you can, of course, continue to write in comments if you want to participate in the discussion. Tell us what you like or what you'd like to know more about, et cetera, as we play this. So I'm going to now share. Let's see. We're going to go for The Birth of the Foot. This is about a 1 minute clip of how Michael and Bonnie came up with their, with the label for Barefoot Wines. Yes. Here we go.
She needed to make it solid. She needed Michael to draw it. And she needed this to happen fast. That's why she was almost vibrating to get it out and why she hustled a half-asleep Michael to the little green chalkboard in the kitchen.
I know what the label looks like. This is going to be a big success. I can see it stacked in supermarkets. This is going to sell a lot of wine.
Michael picked up the chalk and started to draw.
Quick, quick, draw a foot.
What kind of foot?
A nice foot. Just draw it.
Michael sketched a slim right foot along the bottom of the chalkboard.
No, no, no. Stand it up.
He erased it and drew one with the heel at the bottom and the toes straight up.
Close. Tilt it to the right.
He erased and drew again.
No, no, more tilt. Just a little. Make it look like there's some motion. It's like someone is stepping up.
Bonnie's voice was getting louder. She was talking faster, feeling like this was even more urgent. Her panic was growing. They could not lose this idea.
Is that it?
By now, the chalkboard had a layer of white dust from all the erased chalk.
Really close. The foot should look like an exclamation point, an italicized exclamation point. And give it a little more arch.
It got more tilt. It got more arch.
How's that?
Now write barefoot.
Michael put down barefoot next to the angled drawing.
Closer. Move it closer. Put the T all the way inside the arch.
Bonnie stopped bouncing and looked at it. The board was nearly white. The air was filled with chalk dust. They stood silently, surrounded by their intensity. Both were taking big breaths. Bonnie's fear had dissipated. They looked at a slim right foot, pointing up at a 2 o'clock angle, acting as an exclamation point for the barefoot written into the arch. They both thought it was good, but they had no idea that in not much more than a decade, it would become an iconic national label.
There. That's what the label looks like. That's going to sell a lot of wine.
Okay. What a great story.
So that's, see how fun that is. That's business audio theater. So it's big on entertainment. There's music, sound effects. You can hear the chalkboard and everything.
Yeah.
But then there's action and there's outcome and it's about something, you know, and I guess the real business lesson there is that ideas come anytime, you don't know, and you've got to get them down. You know, you get an idea, for God's sakes, write it down, type it out, do something. Because it can go away And Bonnie was afraid that it would go away. She was afraid. She saw the label in her mind's eye at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, after partying and all this stuff, and came home and said, this is it, you know. And I said, well, you know, why can't this wait till morning? And she says, because I'll forget it. It has to happen right now. And so I guess there's a certain amount of immediacy. I always remember that great movie Amadeus, where Mozart was getting the entire opera in his brain. And yep. He was trying to get it out. And he's telling this guy,
Salieri, you know, yes,
how to write it. And he couldn't get it out fast enough. And so I guess so. There is some serendipity to it. And, you know, the brain works like a computer. When you're taking a shower, when you're driving, when you're changing your baby's diapers, your brain is constantly working to try to solve problems. And we were given the problem. You know, the name has to be the same as the logo. You got to see it from 4 feet away. It has to be something that people recognize. This and that, all the things that, you know, Don Brown told us, you know. And so all of it comes together, blank. Like that. And so don't be afraid to move on those flashes of insight that you get when your brain finally solves something, whether you're in the shower, it doesn't matter. Write it down.
And which is funny that you mentioned that, because I actually have a little pad with two suction cups on it, and it's waterproof paper. I think it's called Aquanotes or something like that. And it's in the shower, and there's a pencil that's got a little suction cup on it. So you stick it right there on the wall, because exactly that you never know when, whether it's a matter of, oh, note to self, buy more shampoo, add it to the list, or, you know, tell my husband this, or don't forget to, or here's an idea I have, just to jot it down in right there in the shower makes it, because you never know when those ideas are otherwise going to go down the drain, right?
Exactly, exactly. You know, we had a vacation to Hawaii one time, and we just said, okay, we're going to go there for 2 weeks. We're not even going to think about business. And it was a terrible time. You know, we were having upheaval and all kinds of problems. And on the plane, on the way back, I got an idea for how to reorganize the business.
Mm.
And we wrote it all down. We implemented it, and it changed everything.
Sure.
Because the whole time we were running around, you know, on Kauai in the mountains, my brain was working on this problem, right?
Yep. Yep. The irony. It's like, well, it's a dead 2 week vacation, but it was the best plane ride ever.
That's exactly right.
Usually with paper, but you know, I suppose if you're going to have to kill some time, a week or two hiking in Kauai is not a terrible place to do it. It's if you're going to, especially if you're going to come out of it with business inspiration by the time that you're done. So, right. And now listening to that clip, I do have one question. Was there, with all the writing and erasing that you're doing, and she's saying, no, a little more this, a little more that way, did you ever just at one point want to say, you draw it?
You know, I wanted to say that from the beginning because I wanted to go to bed. But, you know, I've known Bonnie well enough, and I respect her, that when she has an idea, I take it seriously. And, you know, this is one of the things that, you know, couples in business have got to learn, and even partners. And that is, you've got to give respect to your partner to the degree that when they get intense about something that really moves them, you better pay attention, because they have your interests at heart. And it isn't really a thing like you do it, I do it. It's more like we are doing it. And I think the fact that she could order me around helped her, you know, get it out better.
Be able to sort of iterate it. And I mean, granted, if I were Bonnie, I would probably have done the same thing, because I needed help drawing stick figures. And I was not given that kind of talent. So for me to have the image in my mind and then try to put it on paper, I would look at it every time and go, that's not what it looks like in my head. So how do I make it come? So to be able to just give it to like the police sketch artist and say, you know, no, a little more of this and a little less of that. I'm sure that was very helpful for her to be able to get it out. And that process with you, even though I'm sure you were like, I'm tired of erasing, just let me go to bed. We got the general idea.
So the other thing I was going to say is that here we are. We know what the label looks like. We've created the label, right? So then we bottle it up with that label, and we're really excited to go back and show this Don Brown, played by Ed Asner, buyer guy, who's kind of sour, And we're really excited, you know, to go show him what we've done and to ask him, you know, how many truckloads he wants, because we're really excited. We feel like we've done the right thing. And so this next clip is a surprising turn of events that people in entrepreneurship had better be ready for.
Ah, okay. So here we go. You've set that up. And let me find clip number three. Again, this will be about a 2 minute clip or so. And we're going to come here, find our buyer part two. Okay, 1 minute or so. Here we go.
Yeah, who am I? What do you want?
We bottled the wine and want you to see it. This is what you asked for. There aren't any leaps or hills or rivers. It's a label she can read from 4 feet away. The logo is the same as the name. It's in plain English and easy to pronounce. It's a name she'll remember and a logo she won't forget. So, Don, how many truckloads do you want?
Are you crazy? I can't buy this. Nobody knows this brand. Nobody's ever seen or heard of Barefoot.
It's everything you asked for.
Yeah? So what? That doesn't matter. No one's going to buy something they never heard of. You got to advertise it. If you're willing to spend $1 million on TV ads, I'll buy from you.
We don't have that kind of advertising budget.
Then you got to go make a name for yourself. You got to go sell it to every mom and pop store in every corner till everyone knows what Barefoot is.
That'll take years.
Well, Julian, you better get started.
Ah, yes. But does that sound familiar? You better get started. Well, there you go.
See, so in that clip, by the way, the Michael Houlihan person is played by my friend Matt Wineglass. And
what a perfect name.
I mean, can you imagine just the odds?
He was born for the role.
He was. And Matt is a very successful Hollywood producer who has created several movies that have gotten independent awards and whatnot. He has one right now that's on Netflix. But to have somebody of that caliber, you know, we couldn't find the right person to play the Michael Houlihan person. And we went through a couple of actors, and he stepped up and said, let me do it.
Oh, that's
because I know exactly what you're talking about. Because it had to be a guy who was a little bit scared because he had been given all this money, basically, and he had to convert it into a package that worked in the marketplace. He had no knowledge. It's sort of like you learning about, you know, StreamYard real fast.
Right.
You know, it's like building the airplane while you're flying it.
Right.
And, so that's one of the lessons. And I think the other lesson here is that you have a lot, or we all of us people, have a lot of misconceptions about the world of business because we come from a first world country. We go to the store, we see everything there. Nothing's out of stock. And we think that that's all there is. And we go, why hasn't anybody thought of this? Well, maybe they thought of it and it's in a warehouse in Kansas. They just never got it distributed. And you just can't see it. So they failed. And so the real message here is that getting it into the market and getting it through the market is more important than the product or the price or the quality or the cute label. Because if they won't let you in, all that stuff doesn't matter.
Yes, which is really a metaphor for all of life, right? If you can't get to the decision makers, if you can't get the attention of the people whose opinions matter, whose input matters, it doesn't matter how great your idea, your product, your service, but access. How do you gain access? And as entrepreneurs, you know, that's what we're all about, frankly. Whereas if you're in sales or if you're in whatever kind of work, figuring out who the decision makers are and how to get access to them is really the ultimate key to success. Because if you can't get through that door, then you can't get past square one.
And the guy says, well, I guess you're going to have to sell this to every mama, papa, and every corner grocery store because the chains and the box stores won't take it. What an interesting comment. And that's so true of life. A lot of people think that, oh, if I can't be big tomorrow, you know, I'm going to give up. No, maybe you should start small. you know, make your mistakes in a small place, you know, have a few clients, find out what they want, and then build on that. Don't try to go large right off the bat, because you can't, even if you want to. So that's, I think, one of the lessons, is that we have these preconceived misconceptions that we take with us into the business marketplace. And then we try to act them out. And when we do, it's very expensive, very painful. So that was a great example of business audio theater teaching a business lesson without you being talked to, by just observing and listening to what's going on.
Right, right. The ability to be, and this is where storytelling is such a critical leadership communication skill in the first place, because you can just explain something, or you can storytell, you can use case studies like this. And to the extent that a listener can listen to a story and somehow see themselves in the shoes of one of the characters,
right,
and start to say, well, how does that apply to me? Where have I been in a similar situation? Who do I know who's like that? What lesson can I learn from this? There's so much power in that personal deduction, in that learning experience. And I think that really, I mean, it's what makes great speakers truly great, because they're storytellers. It's what, not just TV personalities and podcasters and whoever else, but where great motivational speakers are powerful. And frankly, where business executives or department leaders are powerful, if you can tell the story, turn your data, tell the story of the data, bring the data to life. Don't just give me a spreadsheet. You have to bring the data to life. And stories do that in a way that make the data relatable. And that's where you get the oh fact, because it, we process different kinds of data in different parts of the brain, right? We've got the reflex kind of lizard brain part, and then you've got your prefrontal cortex, et cetera. And that's where your brain spreadsheet is. But you're making so many decisions back here on gut instinct and reflex, and then looking to justify them with spreadsheet up front after the fact. You don't even know that we're doing it. But stories hit that reflex, hit that emotional trigger in a way that the logic has to catch up with later on. So if you're waiting just for all that grinding through the brain spreadsheet processor, you know, it's going to be a harder sell at that point. But if you can start by triggering the emotional parts of the brain and that reflex sense, which stories do, it's going to really grease the skids on that persuasion and influence platform that we're all looking to master so desperately.
Exactly. In fact, that's what we're doing now, is we're helping other founders get their story into theater so they can play it for their work at home workforce. So their work at home workforce will go, oh, listen to these people. Look at these people get their butts kicked. Wow. You know, they've got this multi-million-dollar business today, but I didn't realize that they went through all this to get it there. You know, well, they're just like me. And once they say that, once they identify, see, with the lead character,
yes,
and what they're trying to do, see, now they're more likely to engage. Now they're more loyal. Now there's less turnover. So that's why we think business audio theater is a great educational tool.
Absolutely. And that's frankly the same reason why this is a slightly different engagement that we have here. We're getting to do this great live broadcast, and we're just having a great conversation through it, as opposed to the rest of the, well, of course, the rest of the podcast episodes are also great conversations, but they're a little more structured, and I have a very set flow of questions that I asked you and the rest of the guests. But that's why a lot of the questions I ask are things like, tell me a mistake you made. Where is some place that you wish you could go back and have a major do-over, or where you maybe did have a do-over, but you know, a lesson you learned the hard way? Because a lot of times people, employees, will look at the boss of this huge corporation, organization, and think, well, he was born rich, genius, perfect. It was just given to him. It's always been easy. He's known how to do this. But then you hear the stories and you're like, oh, you were terrified at public speaking too? Oh, wow. You put your foot in your mouth and really got yourself, your butt handed to you by whoever it was back in the day. Oh, you learned that lesson the hard way too. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So maybe you are like me, or at least you were. And if you and I started in the same place, or at least right. you started in the place where I am now, and you overcame the same hardships, the same mental blocks, the same challenges, the same head trash, the same all sorts of stuff that I have, that I'm now looking at, and you got there, then maybe I can too. And it's exactly. such inspiration.
It is. It's inspirational. Yeah. And you've taken away people's fear. You know, you've made it doable.
Yes. Yes. And it's like, well, if he can or she can, then so can I. So the problems and the struggles that are part of the story make you relatable. And then looking at where you've gone, make you inspirational and aspirational. And when you can do those two, you can bookend on the vertical, as it were, then I think that's really where it becomes an inspiration to anybody who listens to it. So I think that the Barefoot Spirit, of course, is an amazing story in the first place, but that business audio theater, which is really what you're promoting now, what your main focus is, getting companies, the heads, the founders of companies to take their story and write the story and then tell the story and let you help them tell the story through this new medium. Is that correct?
That is correct. And, you know, they all have stories. It's interesting because we're working with some real parameters here. You know, nobody listened to a story that's more than 2 minutes. Okay, so tell me a 2-minute story. Well, nobody listened to an episode that's more than 25 minutes. Okay, let's have a 25-minute chapter. Now, how many of those 25-minute chapters do you want? So now we have a format to talk to these founders, and they can come up with stories after stories of, you know, here's the time I almost went bankrupt. Here's the time I almost got arrested. Here's the time I lost my best customer. Here's the best person I ever hired and how I bumped into him. And all the serendipity, it's just amazing. It's so much fun. And then to add music and sound effects to that, and then to work with somebody like Matt Weinglass, you know, down in Hollywood at Sherwood Productions, it's just fantastic. It's just fantastic.
What was it like to hear the final product, to finally sit down, put on the headphones, and hear your story be told back to you?
You know, it's funny because the first cut was, you know, a book about 8 inches thick, and we had to get it down to like one airplane ride, right? And so I thought, you know, how are we going to, you know, cut all this stuff out of here, you know? And so Rick Cushman, who was our author, said, well, you know, they asked the mason one time when he was standing in front of the block of marble how he was going to possibly cut the image of the king. And he said, oh, that's easy. I'll just chip away everything that doesn't look like the king. See? And so that's the thing is when we listened to it, it had been edited down. So we were delighted that it could be that succinct, that we could communicate such a complex idea, you know, in a story like that, in these short little, you know, snippet stories that all wove together with this thread of truth. When that happened, we were just thrilled. And we thought, you know, this is going to entertain people and it's going to encourage people to start their own businesses.
I think that must have been so exciting to just hear it, hear the actors, the sound effects, and feel like, oh my gosh, that's it. It was
like a whole new world opened up. We went, business doesn't have to be boring. You don't have to say, here's the 3 things you got to do, the 5 things to never do, the 20 things your customer wants from you. That's how we've written every business book for the last 25 years. Now you can say, so-and-so walks into the office, they get their butt kicked and they get kicked out, hat in hand. Okay, what did they do?
Yes. And the stories, I like the fact that you referenced that they can be short snippets, you know, 45 seconds, a minute and a half, et cetera. They don't need to be on and on and on to get to the point. It reminds me, you know, sometimes I do trainings for seminarians, and we'll work with them on sermonizing and homilies and those kinds of things. And one of the exercises that we do in public speaking is you have to give me a 2-minute talk, and at maximum, it can be 1 minute, can be two, but you know, here's a couple of prompts, pick one, you've got overnight to prep it, but then tomorrow we're going to work on it. And it just is going to be 1 to 2 minutes. And that's when we're going to cut you off. And I remember at the end of the training the second day, we were debriefing and going around the group. And the one guy looks back at me when it was his turn to share his takeaway. And he goes, you can tell a homily in 2 minutes. Like, that was the biggest revelation that he'd ever had, that you don't have to give a sermon in, you know, you don't need 15, 20 minutes to really make a big point, that you can make something powerful and meaningful and personal and relatable and inspirational that gives somebody that aha moment, that light bulb moment in 60 to 120 seconds. And that's something, whether it's a message or a story or, you know, a statistic of some sort, but to get it down, it's not easy. Chipping away everything that doesn't look like the king may not have been, he said it was easy, but, you know, in execution, it was certainly time consuming, to say the least. But the fact that you can do that, and that's so powerful when it's short enough to be digestible and just to sort of smack you in the head, and then it sticks with you because it was so concise and so clear. Of course, we want the details. That's why we read the whole story. That's why we listen to the whole book. But nevertheless, the ability to make it that powerful in such a tight way with all the bells and whistles around it, I think is part of what's the genius of business audio theater. So,
well, thank you so much.
Yeah, I think we're going to wrap things up now. We'll figure out a way through the right platform. It's in, I think, the show notes from the podcast itself. But otherwise, I'll find a way to put a link either on Facebook and YouTube and or on my website to be able to get out for whoever you want to give that first episode to. Actually, I think people will certainly want to listen to that piece now that they've had a little taste of it.
Oh, they're going to love it. They can, you know, when they're cooking or vacuuming, or, you know, or changing their baby's diapers, they can listen to a story. You know, get away from the screen. Give your eyes a break, right? Expand your imagination.
It's and now you have two things to listen to, the Barefoot Spirit and in audio format, and of course, the podcast, Speaking to Influence. So with that, Michael, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It was fun enjoying the happy hour with you, as always.
Well, thank you. And I look forward to our next connection. And we'll certainly make sure that we continue this conversation just for us, but also for everybody else. And for everybody out there listening, once again, I'm Dr. Laura Sokola, your host of Vocal Impact, host of Speaking to Influence and founder of Vocal Impact Productions. And I really want to encourage all of you, please, to go to iTunes, subscribe, download the episodes, give us a 5-star rating and a quick review. And then, of course, if you're there on YouTube or on Facebook, please like the page and subscribe to it as well. Share with your friends and help me to help the rest of you find your most powerful and authentic leadership voice. We look forward to speaking with you again soon. Have a great night, everybody. Oops. And you know what I'm just realizing? This is our, if you are looking to connect, here's some ways that you can connect with me. I forget to put up the screen every time, building the plane mid-flight, like we said. But please do feel free to reach out on social media through whatever you're